Thanks, Bruce. Good morning, everybody. And yeah, look, an honor and a privilege to be here to share some thoughts and experiences about Bert. I guess I met him briefly in the early 1980s and then got to know him pretty well through the 90s, and things developed from there. I guess as you travel through life, you meet a lot of special people, and I guess that's what makes life what it is and really interesting and rewarding and what have you. And Dr. Bertrand Tanner is one of the very special people that I've had the privilege to meet and work with, and that extends out to his family and the rest of his friends and colleagues as well. And I guess, yeah, to be able to call him Dr. Tanner, I think is a really great thing to do, and acknowledge Bruce and a lot of other people that made sure that that was possible, and just a pity he wasn't here to actually have experienced that. You can see from this photo how immaculate he is, and normally he was very well groomed and immaculate in everything that he did. Yeah, look, we had a really special friendship with Bert. The person on the left there, your left, Steve Bailey, is I guess probably one of Bert's closest friends in Australia. And myself, both Steve and I live in Townsville, and I'll come back and touch a little bit on that a little bit later. So what I did is I contacted a lot of colleagues around Australia, and we just chatted and shared some emails and things like that, and all I've done is pull that in together into a few reflections about Bert. And some of these are just direct quotes from various people. You know, he just loved Australia. Some of them said, you know, it was the wild place that he hankered back to from his youth. And luckily, he did get to experience a fairly large part of it. He had a lot of time for people who knew his dad, Champ, and we've heard a bit about Champ's connection with Australia on that. And Bert just had that affinity with those people for whatever reason, and was extremely generous to them in all sorts of ways. The thing I really found impressive too was he got on with anybody from any walk of life. It didn't matter. It could have been a president. It could have been a janitor or whatever. Bert just made that natural connection, and the conversations were deep and meaningful. That there was laughter, there was joy, and what have you. He never harbored a grudge and had little respect for those who did. And I guess we've heard some other attributes about Bert through the morning. He loved Townsville, and I'll show you a few pictures about that, and particularly there's a hill there I'll show you about what he liked there too. People felt Bert had a lot of layers to him, and I think that's come through very clearly in the presentations this morning too. He was lots of things to lots of people, but underneath all of it, I think John captured it really tremendously this morning, that integrity and that honesty. It just shone through everything that he did. When you first met him, and I found this with quite a few people, they sort of thought, oh, he's a bit of a gruff, no-nonsense kind of guy. How are we going to get on with this guy? But it didn't take long for things to settle down and, for people to see the soft side and the other side of Bert as well. He had a strong empathy with people and a genuine desire to help out. And again, we very clearly heard that from all sorts of people. I mean, every speaker this morning has referred to that. A great person to interact with. He sort of knew how to communicate with people at a whole range of levels. So whatever level you were struggling at, he was able to connect with you and interact and change things. As a friend, he was incredibly generous, soft-hearted, and would do anything for you. There was nothing, you know, that he wouldn't try and fix or attend to or whatever. We all know he liked beer, and there were certainly one or two Australian beers that he took a particular liking to. And he loved the pubs. He just loved getting into the local pubs, and you could be traveling anywhere, you know, day or night. I mean, you're trying to get home after a long day's work. It's, you know, nearly midnight, but he still wanted to stop at the pub and have a look and find out. And, you know, some pubs are pretty interesting with all the little artifacts around it and that, and all that. He just took it in. He absorbed it all. He worked incredibly long hours, and I mean, we just heard, you know, it didn't matter if you phoned him at 7 o'clock in the morning or midnight, he would respond. But despite all of that, he always had time for family, friends, and exercise. And like, you know, it was an example of time management or something. I don't know how he fitted it in. I struggled big time with that, but somehow he just was able to do it. And he took time and made the effort to visit research sites. And I guess Australia, you know, we 20 million people live on a continent the size of your continent. And so our stuff is scattered, you know, out and whoop-whoop. But he still would make that effort and get out into the outback and have a look and try and help. The other interesting thing was he always was willing to share a motel room, and sometimes that was good and sometimes that was not so good. And I guess there are a lot of stories that I could share, but I don't think I feel brave enough to share them in this kind of an audience. Yeah, look, and I think his honesty and curiosity really set him apart from a whole lot of people. I think really he was a research scientist at heart. And he just happened to work in private enterprise. I think he would have been a fantastic researcher. But I think we probably got the best of him by him working where he did, because he was able to do things that he probably wouldn't have been able to do as a scientist. So I think both business and science benefited from where he actually found himself. He managed a great balance between that, the science side of things and the business side of things. And again, it goes back, I think, to his honesty and integrity and the way that he dealt with that. He was quite open to admit when Campbell, Scientific could have improved or done better, but I must point out that wasn't very often. So it's fantastic equipment that, he was working with, and a company behind him that... really delivered quality and that sort of stuff. Absolutely fastidious about the instrument deployment and performance on that, and he wouldn't let go of a job until it was right. Near enough is not good enough. It needed to work, it needed to deliver what he said it was going to and that sort of stuff. And as a person, he was extremely proud of Campbell Scientific. It was just, I don't know how to say it, it was like his home or something. It was something very, very special to him. And he would always listen and be sympathetic to, anybody's needs about instrumentation and that sort of stuff. And, I and the rest of the people in Australia found him a great ambassador for Campbell Scientific and for US technology, and how he was so committed to help and to make it work. The other thing is, it didn't matter where I was with Bert. I could be in a pub or, at a meeting or out in the hot sun somewhere or top of a mountain or out on a boat. And he always spoke extremely highly and proudly of his family. They were just such a special part of everything that he did. And so no matter where he was, they seemed to be there with you, with him. And certainly from my experience, every trip you ever had with him was like this great big adventure. You never flipping knew where you were going to be one minute to the next, or you go that road or that road. And mostly it was about laughs, now and again a few angry words that didn't last too long. And always the respect, and what you really got to enjoy was at the end of a trip, just one great big bear hug, it didn't matter what had happened, that fixed everything. And any little time that you had with Bert, there was never ever a dull moment, and I think it was just fantastic to see how he lived life. He never wasted 1 minute, 1 second, or anything like that. His life was just full on all the time, and in some ways I wish more of us lived like that, where we took every opportunity and made the most of it. So here I just want to share, and I'll take you through a few photographs and that sort of stuff, and share some of what Bert did in Australia. So like I said, Australia is a pretty big continent, same size as the 50 states here. But he got to visit Darwin and spend some time around here, and a lot of these places he luckily was able to share some with some of his family. I don't think all the family went to all of the places, but so start in the north, Cairns and the Atherton Tablelands. This is where the Great Barrier Reef is, and he spent some time out on the reef. Townsville is where I live, and where Campbell Scientific Australia operates from. He spent a lot of time here. He's Brisbane, Sydney, Canberra, Wagga Wagga, Orange, Bourke. He got to Bourke, the outback. He was very interested in the outback, always wanted to be in the outback. Went down to Melbourne, down onto the coast and up towards the Murray River. And I don't know if he actually got right onto the Murray River, but pretty close to it and some of the tributaries of the Murray and that sort of stuff. One of these trips he actually did in pretty much one go. I think he came in at Brisbane, came to Sydney, he came into Sydney, went to Brisbane, came back down to Canberra or something, went out to Bourke, came back, and then drove to Townsville. He wanted to see the country, so he saw the country. And some pretty interesting stories about that sort of thing. So just, some of the work that he did out there. This is with Lindsay Hutley up Lindsay is at Darwin, and this is one of Lindsay's sites. And you can see, like in all the other talks too, Bert is up the tower. It doesn't matter, is it safe, not safe, doesn't matter. Let's go and fix it. And up he is, and hands-on, very hands-on. And I guess, so some fantastic experimental data that's coming out of here, learnings, forest fires, and all sorts of unexpected learnings too. So these experiments, just I think a bit what we heard in the previous, you set up an experiment to do something, and you make measurements and you learn all sorts of other things. You know, fire that whipped through here taught them a whole lot of things. Here out at the lake, I guess I'm not sure who's going which way here. It looks like they're going opposite directions, but I think they eventually got there. I think this is one of the tributaries leading into the Murray River, a pretty big example of some of the big pumps that suck the water out of the place, and then we wonder why we got no water left in the Murray. But anyway, we were out there, you know, trying to meter these things and measure what's going on, how much water is being sucked out of there. And I mentioned about his immaculate clothing and dress sense at the beginning, and sometimes I wasn't too sure about how immaculate or the actual dress sense, but I thought that wasn't very appropriate for the outback. And like I said, he loved the outback, and you know, he just we'd be there, we'd be in the outback, and he'd say, "Are we there? When are we going to get there?" "Well, we're there, Bert," you know. And if you look to the left or the right or behind you, it was exactly the same, you know. So I didn't quite know what he wanted sometimes in there. And he wasn't often a pretty sight in the morning. He had front up when he came to the meetings and that, it was like he had never, been anywhere. But boy, some of the mornings were not that pretty. We heard about Tom Denmead and Ray Learning and those guys, and Bert has done a lot of work with those people down in Australia, and they all, extremely privileged and grateful and respectful of what Bert did with and for them. And, just the same as a lot of the other photos that I've seen, Bert's hands-on. He's there fixing it. He's doing the stuff. He's not, dictating or whatever. So again, I mean, the Australians, the Ausflux, community, I think have really benefited from what, Bert has done. And so here's part of the team that I think Tom Denmead and Ray Learning were working with down there. I think a lot of the Ausflux members are there. And I think this is one of the training sessions that Bert was involved in. And Bert here is hiding here in the background, as always, very, not a pushing himself sort of person. He's just there. He does his job. I can't find the right word that I'm looking for right now, but there he is in the background. This is Tom Denmead in the front here. He said it had nothing to do with his anything other than he's short. That's why he's in the front. And Ray Learning here on the right. So I know Ray and Tom in particular have had a lot to do with Bert. And here's Bert sharing some time. Ray Learning here in the background. And Ed and Bert. I guess in 1993, Campbell Scientific Australia was set up and headquartered in Townsville, and Bert was chair of the board, and he served as chair right up until his passing. And I guess this is very early days. I think this is probably 93, 94. So, Bert here in his younger days, Sandy and Steve Bailey and Chris Kellett. Bert loved Townsville and he loved Castle Hill. And he would, do a full day's work and then, okay, we're off up Castle Hill. And he would, run up there, and anybody that was around, he'd take them on. And, people would think, oh, I'll go out for a walk. And, Bert is there running ahead of everybody. And there's some pretty steep tracks up the hill there. But that was part of his exercise too. It was part of his balance and release and all that sort of stuff. And it was fantastic to work with somebody like that could fit all of this stuff in. And that's just a view from the top of Castle Hill back out over the city and that sort of stuff. So I encourage any of you here that want some time out or whatever, Australia is a good place to visit. Townsville is a particularly good place to visit, and we always need lots of American dollars down there. And of course, we heard here too, Bert, he was able to mix and relax and enjoy. And so, these sorts of sessions were very common. You would go and work with Bert, and lunchtime you would be at a place, a restaurant somewhere. And there was the learning and the sharing and that going on at that. And, you'd benefit as much at these kinds of functions as you would out in the field or in the classroom working with Bert. So just fantastic times, and he did find an occasional time to relax, you know, take in the sun and look out over the boats and that. And Cookie was there too, by the way. He wasn't on his own. And we've heard a bit about Bert's eyes. You know, he can use his eyes very effectively. And the other thing about Bert, he's full of mischief, you know, full of fun and mischief. There's always a prank happening somewhere. And I think Ed's one of the big pranksters back here, and Simon Leeds here is one of the pranksters in Australia. And these guys are always nervous with one another, you know, what's going to happen next. And that was part of the fun of Bert. Yeah, those eyes again, taking it all in, you know, is Jim telling us the right stuff or the wrong stuff? And Bert's office, yeah, I had the privilege to spend time with him and Cookie in early 2008. And I think the very first time I saw his office, it looked like that. And this was about the last time I saw his office, and not much had changed. But the interesting thing, like I guess most people who have offices like that, you'd ask him something and he'd go and find that particular piece of paper under that particular pile. And so obviously his filing was extremely good. And yeah, he used to enjoy his time in the office, I think. And I think he did a lot of thinking here and time on the phone and that sort of stuff. But it was a fun place for me to go to. And the sign up on the right-hand side here, you can't... see it, I guess the language probably was, where is it, up here, the language probably was not too good, so probably lucky it didn't show up, but it's a parking sign from his place. That's just Bert at work, yeah, always into everything, doesn't expect others to do too much, he just gets on it and does it and that sort of stuff. He loved life to the full. This is a special moment that I captured just before I left an early 2008, I was staying with them, and he and Cookie were trying to get a love heart down from wherever that was being put up. And yeah, just some special people, special times, and want to thank Bert and his family and that for everything they've contributed. I think, you know, Bert's contributions to science, education, instrumentation, business, family, his fellow men, just, you know, an extraordinary person who's done an extraordinary amount for an extraordinary number of people all around the world. And yeah, thank you, Bert. We miss you.
Thank you, Keith. Bert, everybody that's speaking, Bert has had a long relationship with, but one of my early memories was when, I think, John, this was with sap flux flow measurements, and you'd worked out some of the mathematics of that, and people said, oh yeah, that's that paper by Van Bavel. And Bert was always very careful to point out, oh, you mean the paper by Baker and Van Bavel. And that again, I was just starting. But John Baker is going to give us a Minnesota perspective with Bert.
I didn't start this for you. We just hit escape. And next presentation.